He deserves it all. Let's just give the Lord some praise in the house today. Amen. Wherever you are, just glorify the Lord.
And in your own way today, let's give God some praise. He's worthy. He's so worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for another day. God, you deserve it all. Let all of our worship, let all of our praise flow to you. Oh, God, thank you for being in our midst today. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your spirit, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the people of God. We give you all of the praise on today. Be with us, Lord. Let your word jump off the pages into our hearts, that we'll be servants of the Most High God all the days of our life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, that new song is, he deserves it all. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his name alone is to be glorified. Oh, we bless the Lord on today. Amen. Listen, I'm just full of joy. I'm just grateful for the Lord. Anybody just glad you're saved today? Anybody just glad that you know Jesus? How many are you glad that you're not who you used to be? How many of us know we've been bought with a price? The precious blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. How many know that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is there anybody in here today to know that your sin's been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness? That Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's coming back again. Amen. You know, I'm just so blessed. Just to reiterate a little bit, thank God for the prison ministry on yesterday. Thank God for Brother David being able to be there. Pastor Jones, praise the Lord. Brother Mark, you were there in spirit, brother. We were praying for you. Amen. I was letting folks know that Brother Mark has been had it on his mind for 2 months to be here to share the word. But praise God, and I thank God you all heard the testimony of 149 men gave their life to Christ. Thank you, Lord. You know, committed to serving the Lord is the message today. And I was thinking, Brother David, of all of those people. I believe it was a little over 100 people, volunteers of us, that went into the prison from 4 different states. People came there to share a message of hope and love with these men that are behind the walls. And I start thinking, you know, my little mind, it don't take much for me to really get to thinking about what's really going on. But it's a God thing. It wasn't that all of the volunteers or any of us were so eloquent and we were so anointed. But the Lord started speaking to me, and I'm saying, Lord, you said no one comes to the Father unless you draw him. So, God, I know that you're drawing these men to yourself. You said, how can they hear without a preacher, and how can they preach unless they've been sent? And God, you said that you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. And it just, scriptures just begin to flow, and whoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to see these men standing there and surrendering to Jesus, it just blew me away. And I praise God. I praise God for that. So we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord on today. We thank the Lord. That was such a blessing. People came to serve the Lord. The comedian came who loves Jesus. He had inmates rolling on the ground. Some of those men haven't laughed in probably 20 years. But they were able to laugh and with wholesome laughter. I praise God. I praise God. There was a rapper there, a Christian rapper, who came straight from the hood. He still got his gold teeth up here. But now he's got a different song. He's got a different rap now. And he's telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. So committed to serve. You know, this is our theme for 2024. You may have seen it in the newsletter for the first month of the year. Committed to serving the Lord. I thank God that this ministry, 3P's Christian Ministry, have been known for serving the Lord in dark places. whether it be the homeless encampments or the homeless shelters or the prisons or food pantries. I thank God for the spirit of servanthood that the Lord has placed in this place. Excuse me. It means something to serve the Lord. See, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was thinking serving the Lord meant I get up and go to church on Sunday. Where are you going, man? I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, see, I didn't know at the time that I was really going to hear the word of God and to worship the Lord and to fellowship with the saints and as the Lord would build something in me, preparing me, what? To serve. Praise God. And so we thank the Lord. So we're going to look at a couple of words today. Committed, for one. How many are committed already? You know in your heart you're committed to Christ. Thank you, God. Isn't it something to be committed to something? Because some of the people we talked to Friday, were not committed to anything. This one young man that was just crying out to him, trying to give him some hope. He's only 27 years old and he feels like he's a failure. He got 6 siblings. And he said he don't feel like anybody can look up to him. But I was able to let him know that Jesus can turn your life around. Jesus can call you to be able to look back and wonder how you made it over. Praise God. His name was Ezra. I said, that's a powerful biblical name. You go back to your dorm whenever you can. Read Ezra and Nehemiah and see where that name came from, the first pulpit that was in the book of Ezra as he proclaimed the word. So I'm still fired up about being in that prison. Okay. But we're going to talk about being committed to serving the Lord. And commitment is an agreement or a pledge to do something in the now and the future, in my terms. Committed right now. See, I'm committed to my wife. I'm committed to my children. I'm committed to 3-Piece Christian Ministry. But I'm committed to Jesus because he saved me. Thank you, God. 1979. Who would have thought that a drunk like me, mad and angry at the world, would come to know Jesus? That's exciting to me now. I'm just going to tell y'all, that fires me up because I know where the Lord brought me from. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, to serve, to be a servant, an attendant, you know, to wait upon someone. You know, my Greek is definitely not all there, but that term, it's like where we get deacon from. Diakoneo, the Greek term, to serve, right? And this is what I'm looking at today. For a healthy, well-balanced church, it takes prayer, praise, proclamation, and it takes a servant's heart to do the will of God. Amen? We're going to look at 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 today, and it's going to kind of jump in the middle of a thought process where Peter is kind of sounding the alarm, calling those to salvation who maybe have been kind of wondering a little bit. And it's right sandwiched in between where he's beginning to let them know, because now Nero was in charge. And persecution was coming up on the church. And there was going to be some suffering going on. But he was letting them know that you can stand for the Lord and he'll bring you out. But we're going to jump in the middle of that narrative. And it's like a wake-up call. Verse 7 say, the end of the world is coming soon. That's a message in itself. You look around us today and see all the stuff that's going on. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, families broken up, chaos and mayhem in the streets. Jesus said these things were coming, but look up, for your redemption is drawing near. So here in the New Living Translation, they say the end of the world is coming soon. We need to understand that tomorrow is not promised. We need to understand that the scriptures are being fulfilled. What manner of men and women should we be today? I don't want to be asleep at the switch. See, Pearl Harbor didn't have to happen if people were not asleep at the switch. And remember, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. and my reward is with me to give every man according to what his work shall be. The end of the world is coming soon. He said, therefore. See, first of all, the therefore comes after the announcement, the precautionary warning that the end of the world is coming. So since we can understand that as saints of God and we know the times and the season we're living in, he said, therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. It sounds to me he's talking about it's prayer time. It's time to get real with God. Whether it's within myself or in my circles or in this world we're living in, it's time to earnestly pray and have a disciplined prayer and to know the one whom we're praying to. You know, it's something about serving. I remember when 9/11 happened. All of the chaos in Congress and the Senate and everywhere, all of a sudden they talking about praying. They had been talking about praying for years, but when trouble came and 3,000 souls were lost, then a sense of fear gripped the people, and then some people began to look toward God. So there was a man named Pat Tillman, an NFL player, who was set to have a $3-something million contract. But his heart was so heavy of what happened on 9/11, he decided he wanted to serve his country. He left the contract behind, joined the army, ended up overseas, and gave his life for the country. Man, you talk about a servant heart. And how much more for servants of the Most High God? Check this out. Verse 8, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Isn't that something? How a servanthood is connected with love. See, we're to love one another. Listen to this. For love covers a multitude of sins. How many times have we heard that scripture down through the years? You know, this comes really from Proverbs 10 and 22. And so it doesn't mean that love is going to atone for sin as it relates to us. The blood of Jesus did that. But see, sometimes if we're not careful, we're not loving like we should. We're not forgiving like we should. We're holding something over somebody's head. And so Peter, who had all of his trials and failures, he's seen the light now. He's saying, for love covers a multitude of sins. That means that we're not stirring up stuff. If Jesus forgave me, I should be able to forgive. And to understand that forgiveness is a command for the saints. You know, I want to obey God. And he's saying all these things as he's leading up to what it means to serve. He says in verse 9, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. I remember back in the day, that's what this evangelist come to town. They would have somebody, one of the saints at the church would have them stay at their home. And that's where it came out, that where the kids would say the preacher's eating up all the chicken. You know, you kids wait till after the preacher eat, you know. Well, it shouldn't be that way. And we're living in a different time now, but he's speaking about hospitality. For instance, if Evangelist Dolores is coming in the town and she's going to run in a revival, then she may not need to be at the house with us because of some distractions. But hospitality, say, get her a nice hotel room where she can be in quiet study and prayer as the Lord downloads to her. God wants us to be hospitable with one another. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift. This is important right here. It's a short message, but this is really important. We need to understand that each one of us have a gift, and we have multiple gifts. Why? Is the gift for me to highlight myself? Is it for me just to enjoy this gift for me? Or is this gift to share the love of Jesus Christ? He said, cheerfully share your home. Then in verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. The New Testament, Paul's writing is replete with gifts that will operate within the bounds of the church. He says, use them well to serve one another. Our gifts are to serve one another. And I've always said, there's enough ministry to go around. How many know that for everyone that's sitting under the sound of my voice, there's something for you to do in the house of the Lord, in the ministry of the kingdom of God, that your gifts will come alive, that you'll use that gift in love to help somebody out. And by virtue of that, the church continued to grow. The church continued to blossom. Why? Because there's love, right? There's hospitality. There's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's the gifts that God has bestowed upon us to share and to love someone with those gifts. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Well, a lot of folks have the gift of speaking, but do we all speak the same? No need of me trying to get up here and speak like Chucky or Pastor Jones or Maria, Brother David or whoever. But he's saying, listen, you speak what God gives you. You share what God has given you to share. You give God the glory. See, it's just like keychain, right? This is the way spiritual gifts are. Because, see, a keychain, every one of these keys, some of them I probably need to get rid of, open a different lock. This one key is not going to get me in the house, get me in the church, get me in the car. It's different keys, and we have different gifts to open up all of those doors, those spiritual doors that God has set before us. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. What? Okay, let me get this straight. Let me not run past that. You mean that if I have the gift of speaking, first of all, it's not all about me. Then, sir, ma'am, speak as though God himself we're speaking through you. What do that mean? That we're representatives of Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're sharing and speaking his word, and people need to see the love of Jesus in our hearts and our minds. And what we say, you know, the pulpit has never been a whooping place for people. For folks to stand up behind the sacred desk and start lambasting people. That is not what the word of God is for behind the sacred desk. He said, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Anybody here just like helping folk? How many like me in here where you kind of like working behind the scene? You don't have to be seen, but you don't mind working. Is that anybody? Y'all going to talk to me. We're going to get out of here because I know I'm about to lose my voice anyway. But it's a blessing. You know, see, little means much when it's placed in the master's hand. Yeah. See, sometimes people just looking at the big stuff. You know, as we were serving at the prison, there was one gentleman at break time, and they were having testimonies go forth, and he was saying, well, I didn't save nobody. I said, well, you can't save nobody anyway. It's Christ who does the saving. Amen. You just be the vessel. When the first session, I talked to three guys, and they all had this weird Jewish theology. So I just kind of ended up exhorting them. They wasn't accepting Christ. But hey, great. I planted some seeds, watered some seeds, you know, encouraged them. So no telling what the Lord's going to do. But the second session, I had six men standing in front of me. And one of them looked like he was just zoned out. But the Lord began to deal with that man's heart. And we got to the point of that little tract that we have out there. Do you want to know if what you believe is true or not? He said, yes, I do. We got to the sinner's prayer. Hey, brothers, let's read this together if you really mean it in your heart. And five of them, and one of the sixth one was a Jehovah Witness. He's raised Jehovah Witness. But he was answering questions, and he was hungry. I said, here, you keep this and you read it later. But we read the sinner's prayer, and those men began to rejoice. and said they wanted to serve the Lord. Blow me out. Why is that so important? Because I remember where I came from. I remember how broken I was. I remember how hopeless I was. And the word of God came to me and he changed my life. And for me to be able to have the privilege of speaking, though God was speaking through me, letting somebody know there's a better way. There's a Savior who loves you, who gave his life for you, who can turn your dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows, can give you a new lease on life, can establish your going and place your feet up on a solid rock. His name is Jesus. Do you know that God's word will never return void? It will accomplish what it set out to do. Amen. Thank you, God. So if you have the gift of helping others, listen to this, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. You know what? And I don't want to try to help somebody to say, hey, look here. Look here what I've done. Oh, yeah, I gave him some shoes. What? Whatever we do, we do to the glory of God. Amen. That God alone will be glorified. Amen. He is our provider. You all probably heard that old story about the church mother who prayed every day out on a porch, and things got tight for mother. The refrigerator was empty. The cupboards was bare. It was atheists living next door to her. Mother came out and she started praying to the Lord, just like Daniel did every day. And she said, oh, God, send some help, Lord. Send some food, God, in the name of Jesus. And old atheist next door, he heard her. He said, I'm going to fool her. I'm going to go out and buy some food, put it on her door, run off and hide. He went shopping, probably at Albertson somewhere, got all the food, set it on the porch, run the doorbell and ran. I'm going to see what she say. She came out, looked at the food. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He ran out. He said, Jesus ain't gave that. I gave that to you. She kept on praising the Lord. She said, God, I thank you, even if the devil brought it. See? You know, God is sovereign. God is in complete control. Then everything you do, listen to this. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Is that an amen? Amen. All glory and power to him forever and ever. The God who saved us, the one who's standing with his arms outstretched said, come on, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. How many are looking for that great getting up morning? Hallelujah. Excuse me. I'm telling you, I'm looking for, like the little boy said, well, I don't know if you're getting a load together now. But, you know, we know that one day this life is going to be over. And the question that was asked to some of those ministers on yesterday, I mean, those prisoners on yesterday, if you were to die today, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? Some would say heaven. Some say, I don't know. And then the next question was going to be this. Why would God allow you into his heaven? I turned around, was talking to one of the correction officers. He said, I used to be in a Catholic church and church three times a week, and he said, I don't believe nothing now. I say, but if you were to die tonight, where would you go? He got all this bulletproof vest and all this stuff on. He got quiet as a church mouse. The Lord put something on his mind. I said, hey, brother, keep this and read that. I could see that the Lord spoke something to him. Committed, three P's, let's be committed to serving the Lord. You know, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. The church had been born on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell. The church began to grow exponentially. 5,000 saved at one time. So the church is rolling. And anytime you have church, you have administration, you have procedures, you have ways that things need to be done. You have needs over here, you have needs over there, you have ministries need to happen over here. That's why it takes a servant's heart to operate in our gifts that we can fill those voids. In Acts chapter 6, because you know Acts chapter 5 was Ananias was fired, right? When they lied about the money and dropped dead on the spot. It was a lot happening in those days. But here, it says, now in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, isn't that something? The church was growing. The church was moving forward. There arose a complaint. What? You mean people can complain in church? Come on, y'all. You know folks don't complain in church. People can complain in the house of the Lord. And there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. These were Greek-speaking Jews. They would read the Septuagint. Their language was Greek. And so they had an issue. How many know sometimes issues can come up in the church? But you've got to have a gift of love and a spirit of humility to deal with situations that you don't have chaos in the church. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows had been neglected in the daily distribution of food. So they were saying, something ain't right here. The widows on our side, the widows we know, they're not getting the food that they need. And listen what happened. Then the 12, right? The 12 apostles. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, that didn't mean they were saying that we're not servants. Listen, let me read it out. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer to the minister of the word. It's a couple of things to note in here. They both groups were serving. The group that was serving the tables and administering food was no less than those who were preaching the gospel and praying and fasting to share with the people. They all were being servants. And so, but look at the qualifications here. And I think these qualifications should just go across the board, period. Find you out 7 men, in this case, find out whosoever in the house of the Lord who have a good reputation. Anybody know it's good to have a good reputation? And to be filled with the Holy Spirit, see? And wisdom. So with being filled with the Holy Spirit comes wisdom. You know, look, I know it's for some reason it's really warm in here. We're going to shut it down. But do you, this is so important. We can have the Spirit of God and he'll cool us down. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may we appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See, I think that's a mindset that we all should have. Regardless of what our calling is, regardless of what our gifts are, that we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We all as saints of God, we have a ministry in the word. We have been commissioned by God to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not to slight something that doesn't seem to have the glamour of the highlights of something else. There's no glamour. There's no, oh, look at me, I'm up here and you down. None of that is in the house of the Lord. I believe David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'm so glad to be delivered. I'm so glad. I was so glad when I was able to start waving at police, asking them for directions. Man, y'all think, see, that was so liberating to me. when I could pass by the liquor store and it didn't faze me no more. Something had happened on the inside. When I could sit in the house where people are drinking and drugging and it not fazing me. Man, fresh out of the world when working at a college and just my wife and I remarried, we love God and all this flesh walking around and I'm trying to drive and mind my own business. I was struggling. And I stopped that electric cart with all my tools on it. And I said, Lord, I can't continue like this. I need your help. I hope y'all with me. I'm just telling the truth. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you can look past all that and see your wife. Do you know a calm came over me? A sense of freedom came over me? Now, the next day I'm driving from that around the camp. I said, that poor girl sure need prayer. Look at that group. They don't know what they're doing. I'm like, thank you, God. See, he works from the inside out. And whatever we've come through, it's for a reason. Our situations, our hard trials, our tribulations, as God has brought us out, guess what? It's for somebody's benefit that we now can share with. I can share with someone that Carol can't share with. And she can share with folks that I can't share with. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God. We need to be committed to serving the Lord. Matthew 20, 25 through 28. You know, but Jesus called them to himself. Who did he call to himself? James and John, the sons of thunder. They had a question for Jesus. They even lured their mother in. They say, Jesus, we got a question for you. You know, when you're coming to your kingdom, we want to help you. We want to have one of us sit on your left side and one on your right side. Now, that probably was a fight there, too. No, I want the right side. You know, and Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink up the cup that I'm going to drink up? You know, James was the first martyr. Wow. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. It don't cost to serve the Lord. It pays. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. That should never be in the house of the Lord, exercising authority over anyone. We live on the same street. We just supposed to know the calling that we have. Didn't the scripture say, walk worthy of in the vocation where you've been called? Thank you, God. He said, yet it shall not be so among you. Listen to what Jesus said. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Now, I don't have nothing to say too much about folks who have, you know, pastors have adjutants and people that carry their Bible for them up to the pulpit and sit it down and they come up and wipe their head. If y'all see me can't carry this thing up here, would y'all say, Pastor, it's time for you to take a break? You know, because I still have the strength to carry my Bible, to stand. I don't need no one to cater to me. You know, I don't need nobody to tell me how great I am. I just want to please God. Amen. The old song said, if I can help someone as I travel along, if I can cheer someone with a word or a song, then my living will not be in vain. Thank you, Jesus. I want to have my mind focused on Jesus. And him alone, nothing in this heart of mine but praises for the Lord. Jesus said, he said, yet it shall not be among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And listen to this, and whoever desires to be first among you. Now, you know how it is. You go to the DMV, you want to get in the front of the line, but you can't. Sometimes folks want to be first in everything, want to be seen. I hear Brother Chucky say a lot of time when you take a group picture, the first one you're looking for is yourself. Well, now if your hair's messed up, I told my grandkids my hair's all messed up, and they were looking at my eyebrows in the morning. It was all over the place. So if my eyebrows are messed up, we need to retake the whole picture. See, because the spotlight is on me. But it's a blessing when you know that the spotlight don't have to be on you. That to God be the glory. He says, and whoever desires to be first among you, here comes that term, servant, bond, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served. Jesus didn't come and say, come on now, y'all, clean off my sandals, dust off my robe. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for the sins of the world. So just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Is there many in the house today? Amen. Were you well aware that Jesus paid the price for your sin? Come on, y'all help me out there. If that's you, say something, right? Amen. If that's you, wave your hand. If that's you, give God some praise because he paid for us with his precious blood. Thank you, God. He, listen to the next verse. I'm gonna let y'all go. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Now, y'all fill in the blanks. We're gonna play guess who this scripture is talking about. All right. Let this mind be in you, which is also in who? Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He didn't just run around, I'm the Messiah, I'm God, you are. He didn't do none of that. Some people that he healed, he said, don't tell nobody. You just go show yourself to the priest. He said, it's not my time yet. Jesus humbled himself. Listen, he said he made himself of no reputation. We live in a time where people are trying to make a reputation for themselves. That is not what we need as servants of the Most High God. If the reputation going to be anything, it ought to be them folks over there in 3Ps. They love Jesus. They love giving God glory. They love staying in the Word. They need and applying the Word. Praise God. Made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. Jesus took on the form of a bondservant, what? For you and for me. And coming in the likeness of men. He left his home in glory to come down here and save a wretch like you and me. Listen, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. For you and me, he died. But that wasn't the end of the story. Woo, hallelujah. On the third day morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Thank you, God. Ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. Jesus told the people, you don't take my life, but I lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. Power hour the last 2 weeks, today and last week. Last week was the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Today was Daniel in the lion's den. Servants of the Most High God, I adjure you on today. Get your mind focused on Jesus. Trouble will come. Trials will come. Situations, sickness, and pain, and death will come. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Saints, let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We have something to praise the Lord for. I just believe if we all get on the same page. Woo, hallelujah. And we work in that servant's heart. And we're saying, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? How can I help, God? How can I be a part of what you're doing? God is going to do something tremendous in our midst. And he already is. But he's got great things in store for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you.